We are pleased to be joined by Idaho's Secretary of State, Phil McGrane. Always a pleasure to talk with you, Secretary. How are things this morning?
It's always a pleasure to be with you, Neil and Julie. Things are going great. We're right in the thick of candidate filing, as you know, and I can say things are going really well.
So we were following the legislature from yesterday, and we did not time this. It just was serendipitous that you actually testified in a hearing about Kyle Harris's bill that would move the presidential contest. It would solidify it under Idaho code in March as a caucus, I believe. You testified against it, though you were incredibly civil about that. So we thought this is very serendipitous that we have the Secretary of Sure. State on the day after that. So tell us, I guess, lay it out for us and explain why you're not in favor of this bill.
Well, I think it's more nuanced than that. And really, I would frame it. There were two bills yesterday. One was Kyle Harris's bill in the House, and then Senator Guthrie also introduced a bill in the Senate, both of them attempting to restore the presidential primary to allow Idaho voters to vote. The debate going back to, you know, prior to the last caucus was really, do we restore it and do we put it in the May primary election with all the state offices, or do we do it in early March, as early as we can under the RNC rules to have Idaho voters vote. So I think we're all very familiar. We voted by caucus. I hear about it all the time. Voters want to be able to vote. The turnout in the caucuses, despite a tremendous amount of effort by the party leadership from Chairwoman Moon and beyond, it's still the caucuses are difficult to get people out to. And so trying to get it back. And so I support Idaho voters voting, whether that's in May or in March. I think there's a lot of good reasons to do it in May because we've consolidated elections to make it easier for voters. Turnout is higher for our state primaries in May. But either way, whether it's May or March, I support us getting the presidential primary restored.
A question that I would have, and I know Julie has questions too, but while we're on this topic, what would you say to those? And I think I'm in this camp here. If we wait until May to have the presidential primary, that's pretty late in the calendar because a lot of states are moving their contests earlier, and Idaho simply becomes an afterthought. In some years, it's possible the nominee has already been decided before May. If you move it to March, it does attract more attention from the presidential campaigns. You get the candidates themselves sometimes. You get their high-level surrogates. It puts you on the map in terms of what your concerns are. So if we go to May, I mean, what would you say to those who share that concern?
I would say I don't think it's proven out that way. And Neil, you and I have obviously had this conversation for over a decade, going back to when we were first having these conversations ages ago. That's always been the idea, is to move up. There was a push a number of years ago for states to move forward. Both the RNC and the DNC have stopped states from doing it. So I know Chairwoman Moon actively tried to see about moving ours up even further, and the RNC indicated they would cut our delegates by half if we tried to do that. And what we've seen, despite trying to move it up, we haven't gotten the candidates to come to Idaho. President Trump has never visited Idaho in any of his campaigns, and we just haven't seen that level of activity. Even last time with the caucus where we did it earlier, the campaigns didn't end up showing up to Idaho. We're not in the front end. Where we are, even in early March, is we're kind of in the middle, and we get skipped over either way. I'll note, if you go back, and it's not the best example, but going back to the 2008 election, because Idaho was later in the process, it mattered in the Democratic nomination for President Obama when it was Obama versus Clinton, because if it is a close race, say there are two prominent presidential candidates and it's a battle to get the delegates headed into the national convention, the late states actually have huge influence in those cases because they are deciding factors to determine who gets the final amount of delegates. So yeah. I think it's either better to be on the very, very front end, obviously the Iowas and New Hampshires, or on the tail end. And so far, Idaho, just despite a lot of effort on our side, hasn't been able to get those folks to come to Idaho at this point.
So just a follow-up question to that really quick. This bill was specific to a caucus versus the primary. Do you know of any other legislators who are potentially going to bring forward a bill or a possibility that you actually just shift the primary completely? Or is this the only one that's in the works for this year?
So the two bills, just for everybody's sake listening, Kyle Harris's bill. So he actually helped organize the caucus in Idaho County, and it was so much work. He never wants to do it again. I think he's pretty outspoken about that. So he's restoring the presidential primary. So the state would run the primary election on the first Tuesday in March is what his bill does. The other bill merges. It does two things. It brings back the presidential primary, combines it with the state primary, but it actually moves the state primary up 2 weeks. Instead of being the third Tuesday in May, it would be the first Tuesday in May. And part of the benefit of that is it makes the November election and the May election exactly 6 months apart. So it's the same Tuesday in each month, trying to, again, make it more predictable and consistent for Idaho voters. So really the idea is to try and get turnout up, and especially turnout. You guys know this. You look at those races over in eastern Idaho, trying to make sure that people are showing up and participating in the primary, because some of these races are consequential to the direction of the legislature.
All right. We're talking with Idaho Secretary of State Phil McGrane. Secretary, let's shift to another issue that I know you're well aware of and your office is aware of, and that's the out-of-state money that's coming in with these dark PACs. We saw it have a real impact on especially some of the legislative races in previous years. What are you doing on that? I know you've weighed in on that before. It has First Amendment implications, and there's a lot of things that you have to consider. But I think most people in Idaho think we don't want out-of-state big money deciding our elections.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the legislative races to watch, you guys know this really well, is there in Bingham County, is the rematch between Representative Furman and Representative Young. Obviously, that was a very close race. I was over there personally for the recount in that race last time. I think that's one of those, Neil, you're even referring to, right, where a lot of money came in.
Yeah.
In those races. One of the things I think it surprises Idahoans, in 2024, there was $17.6 million spent just on legislative races in the state. Of the attack ads, the majority of the attack ads came from out-of-state money. And so we've been watching this. I think we've made huge improvements in transparency with our new Sunshine website, trying to share and track more of the money. We've also built our dashboard so that we can simplify and highlight what's happening in the state. And we're continuing to work on that. The big thing is we do have a campaign finance reform bill that is in the Senate right now, and we'll be pushing through. It was a big topic with Speaker Moyle last session. We're continuing to have that conversation because Idaho's laws, by and large, came from the 1970s. And as we all know, a lot has changed in this space, not just the total dollars, but the tactics have changed, and it's really time for Idaho to up its transparency laws to ensure that we know who's trying to influence us in our elections.
All right. I just want to give a shout out that visualization tool is at voteidaho.gov so that you can see where that money is at and everything. I was going to ask him a different question. Did you have a follow-up?
No, okay.
Let's chat about the personal info to the federal government. You have decided you're not going to allow the voter info to be shared with the federal government. Would you explain to our listeners your stance on that? We weren't the only state that chose to not share that information. So kind of give them an idea of how that would have worked and why you had concerns.
Yeah, to give some backdrop to it too, I think it's more nuanced than that as well. So we've actually had a really strong partnership with Homeland Security and USCIS, so U.S. Customs and Immigration Services. Obviously, you guys were talking earlier today about just immigration generally, right, and some of the debates that happen on it in terms of that. So we've worked very closely to ensure no non-citizens are on Idaho's voter rolls. Before the 2024 election, Governor Little issued the Only Citizens Can Vote Act, and that created the partnership with us, Idaho State Police, Idaho Transportation Department, and Department of Homeland Security to use the National Save database to verify. We've run every Idaho voter through the National Save database, and I've been working closely with White House officials to improve the Save database, not just for Idaho, but for every state in the union. So we've been working closely on that front. Independent of all of that has been the request from the Department of Justice asking for voter information. So it's different than us doing the validation with the feds and other states. This is them doing some of their investigative work. And what we've seen and working with the Attorney General's office to review all of it is we don't have the legal authority. Idaho law doesn't allow us to share that data. Federal law doesn't allow them to request the data. And so really, it's not me making a decision or anything, is just enforcing Idaho law and protecting Idaho voters' information. We hear a lot of concern about it. I think Idaho is, you know, we're always protective of our personal information, and we're talking about Social Security numbers, dates of birth, driver's license information. And so we've had an ongoing dialogue. We did get to the point where just recently we've notified them that we aren't legally able to share that data, but we'll continue to work with them, and we'll continue to work with Homeland Security to ensure, to really do the things that Idahoans, I think, are most concerned about, is making sure that there are no non-citizens on our voter rolls, there's no one dead on our voter rolls, that felons aren't voting. We're very active in that. And this last year has been a really good sign of that, because of the number of prosecutions. I think we're at number 17 in terms of the prosecutions over the last year to enforce our voting laws. And I'm going to continue to pursue those to make sure that Idahoans can have confidence that no one who shouldn't be voting is voting in Idaho.
So, Secretary, follow up to that question. Obviously, there would be a difference between here, Department of Homeland Security, here's our entire database, an inquiry perhaps on one particular individual, if you could check their voting record. Do you work with DHS if they're in the course of an investigation, they want to check like a singular voting record to see if it checks out? Or is even that protected down to that level?
Even that is protected down to that level, but we do... Actually, the way it does work, because we do almost exactly what you're saying, Neil, we do go down to the individual record, but it's coming from us and they're sharing information with us. It's part of the question here is the direction the data is traveling. And so we actually, last year, we referred, working with Idaho State Police, investigating, and this goes to the non-citizen issue, we did identify potential non-citizens on our voter rolls. We had prevented any of them from being able to vote in 2024, but we still identified them, and obviously that's illegal. So we worked with Idaho State Police to investigate them. So Idaho State Police will contact DHS. They'll actually go pull the alien file for the any of these people to investigate and confirm what is their status, everything else. And then 11 of those cases, we then refer to the U.S. Attorney's Office here for prosecution. So the flow isn't so much that us handing it to them and them doing it. It's them sharing. It's the feds sharing information with us so that we can then hand the cases off. And we do share all that information with the U.S. Attorney's Office so that they can prosecute. And it's worth knowing U.S. Attorney's Office is a subdivision of the Department of Justice. They're just the prosecution arm of the Department of Justice.
Nobody thinks, Secretary, that the SAVE Act is going to pass anytime soon. But if it were to pass, number one, would you be for that? And number two, how does that impact the job that you would do and the county clerks would do, you know, across the state?
I'm with you, Neil, and I'm with you on a number of fronts. As you guys were talking earlier today, the filibuster, I think, is important for all the reasons that you stated. I don't think there's any indication. I get asked about the SAVE Act quite a bit, but I think Senator Thune has made it pretty clear that that's not going to happen, and it's not about the substance of it. You know, we're fortunate in Idaho that we have voter ID laws and that we check voter ID and that we're partnering with DHS in terms of verifying information. I think the SAVE Act as written could be better. I support one of the things I've seen, and I've been a loud voice nationally, is voter ID has broad support both from Republicans and Democrats. You can see it in states like Nevada and Wisconsin, where voters instituted voter ID despite opposition from some of their elected officials. I think that there's a lot we can do. And one of the things that Idaho has done well, and I've been working with Senator Crapo and Senator Risch to try and make this nationalize, is when you look at an Idaho driver's license, we all get our STAR card under the Real ID Act. You have to prove your citizenship. We should add a USA designator. And Idaho has done this. Representative Mitchell added USA to US citizens' IDs. we should be doing that nationally so that you can have documentary proof of citizenship when you show it. It's just you pull out your driver's license. All the information and interactions we have with Idaho voters is overwhelmingly the form of identification everyone uses for pretty much everything is their driver's license. So we, under Real ID, we should be using that as a tool, not just in Idaho, but nationally, to have people prove who they say they are. There's so many other, to travel, we have to do it. Why not do it in this instance as well?
Okay.
I was going to say, we're almost out of time here. Just a quick last question. It is campaign season. You filed to run for Secretary of State. Again, you do not have a challenger in the primary. Do you want to tell us how your campaign's going to line out, even though you don't have a challenger?
You know, I've been pretty active. I think you guys know this. I try to get around the state and meet with people. The Lincoln Day circuit is already underway. I've been to a number of counties and plan to come to more. I'm not really changing. I think it's a great opportunity during the election cycle, especially as the chief election official, to get around the state. I feel fortunate just, you know, you guys were talking about the statewide races. It does feel strange as a statewide official, I'll say that. But I think we're having a moment in Idaho where we're punching above our weight. Anecdotally, I'll share, and this is a little bit me just bragging, so I'll own it. Earlier this week, I got an invitation from the president to join him for St. Patrick's Day at the White House. I think having the access that, whether it's me, the governor, others are having right now, shows that we are more in sync with the administration, and we're seeing so much payoff from the Trump administration and Idaho's partnership with them. And I think that's partly a reflection of there's no challenges, because, you know, you guys were talking about it years ago, and we've been on the trail together many times. It's been really active. So it feels great from where I am at, and I plan to make the rounds around the state and continue to meet with Idaho voters and to make sure that this election year we get people out to vote and that Idaho has a voice both here and nationally.
You mentioned the governor secretary. I think you're supposed to refer to him as the gentleman on the second floor.
I heard that, but the problem is I like to think of myself as a gentleman as well, and I'm also on the second floor.
We need to have some kind of differentiating qualifier there. So, all right. Secretary of State Phil McGrain joining us this morning on the Neil Larson Show. Secretary, thank you so much. We appreciate your time, and we'll watch and see how all of these bills turn out and how the coming months are coming, and would love to chat with you again in a few months.
Sounds great. Thank you, guys. I always enjoy it.